Right, so for today's 10-minute halacha, the first 10-minute halacha of the new Zman, I was asked recently by one of my Talmidim whose wife is expecting, and he happens to be a Kohen, whether he's allowed to go for the sonogram to the hospital together with his wife for the sonogram, because after all, there might be mesim in the hospital. A similar issue that comes up with a sonogram of a Kohen's wife is totally not whether the Kohen has to be there, but whether it's important that they know whether the child is a boy or a girl, whether they find out that the child is a boy or a girl. So why would it be important that they find out whether the child is a boy or a girl? Because there is a halacha that a male Kohen is not allowed to become tameh to a mace. A female Kohen is allowed to become, a daughter of a Kohen, let's say, or a wife of a Kohen is allowed to become tameh to a mace. So there is the Shach quotes, in Yerideya, the Shach quotes from the Rokeach. Then we mentioned this last year when we discussed Tumas Kohanim a little bit. The Shach quotes from Rokeach. The reason why the wife of a Kohen is allowed to become tamei to a mace when she's pregnant is that it's a svek sveka whether it's a problem for the baby. Suffek whether the baby's a boy or a girl. And even if the baby's a boy, so it's a suffek nefel, that since there's some tiny percentage of babies that are a nefel, so you have a svek sveka lakula, that you could assume that there's not going to be a problem of Tumas Kohen. Otherwise, absent that svek sveka, thank you very much, absent that, nice picture, absent that that svek sveka, the halacha l'chora should be that it would be usur for the pregnant wife of a Kohen to be in proximity to a dead body. Now, there happens to be a minhag Yisrael, a long-standing minhag Yisrael, that pregnant women don't go to cemeteries. But forget about going to a cemetery. What about walking under the awning that sticks out right past the cemetery, walking under the trees? It used to be on Main Street in Queens that there were trees all the way down Main Street that hung over from the cemetery to the street Kohanim. There were certain streets that Kohanim couldn't go down. Now they took care of those already, but it used to be that there were that it was like that. So does a pregnant Kohanis have to worry about these things? And more fundamentally, do you need to find out the gender of the baby? You should know, as a general issue, there's no isser in finding out the gender of the baby. It may be less exciting in some level, even though it's still pretty exciting to have a baby, but still, you know, there's no isser in finding out. Maybe a chiyuv to find out. So there's a very nice article on this topic by Rabbi Jachter in the third volume of Gray Matter, and there's an article also by Rabbi Bleich in one of the volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems, where Rabbi Bleich takes a very strict approach to this. Rabbi Bleich points out that there is a machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach. When you have a svek sveka and you're able to resolve the svek sveka, do you have to try to resolve it? Or can you just leave it as a svek sveka? Just close your eyes and keep it as a svek sveka. So the Ramah is mekel. The Ramah says you don't have to resolve it. The Shach says you do have to resolve the svek sveka. And he says specifically when it's easy and it's not going to cost you very much to find out. If you go for a sonogram anyway, it doesn't cost you anything to find out. That they don't charge you extra to find out the gender of the baby. All you have to do is ask and they'll tell you the gender of the baby. So the X factor over here is that the Tshuvas Nodeb Yehuda in Yerideya Simin Mem Gimel writes that even if you're machmir like the Shach, what if you can only resolve one of the sveikos but you can't resolve the other? Over here you have a svek sveka, suffik it's a boy or a girl, and even if it's a boy, suffik nefil. So you can't really resolve suffik nefil. You get a better idea at the sonogram how healthy the baby is, but you can't really resolve that suffik. You can only resolve the suffik boy or girl. Would the Shach still say that you need to resolve it? So Nodvida says he's not so convinced that the Shach would say it. So the wives of Kohanim, l'chora, according to that Nodeb Yehuda, would not have to ask what the gender of the baby is, and therefore they'd be able to preserve the svek sveka. And as long as the svek sveka is preserved, they can still become tameh. They can be in proximity to dead bodies. However, there are several achronim, the Prima Gadim, the Gilyan Rasha, that aren't sure that it's really a svek sveka at all, that the Rokeach suggested. Generally, to create a svek sveka, you need two even svekos. So boy or girl, that's a pretty even suffik. Nefel or not a nefel, that's 95% not nefel. I mean, that's not really the most even of all sveikos. This is obviously Tosu Ksubas Daf Tes, remember from last year. But that's the point that a lot of the Achronim have trouble understanding the Rokeach. And in fact, Chassam Sofer thinks that it's a rove. He doesn't think it's a svek sveka at all. He thinks it's a rove. Now, when it comes to a rove, if you have the ability to resolve a rove, then you for sure have to resolve a rove. You can't rely on a rove when you you have the ability to resolve the rov. So that would put us back in the, according to the Chassam Sofer, to the position that the Kohen's wife has to find out, because she has the ability to resolve it. She can undo the rov, right? She could find out that it's a boy, and then it's or that it's a girl, and then she doesn't have to worry about anything, or that it's a boy, and she has a lot to worry about. So that would then she lechora would have to resolve it. Rabbi Bleich, however, does allow the wife to give birth in a hospital, even though lechora in the hospital there may be dead bodies there, because he says that's already pikuach nefesh to try to be brave and give birth in the parking lot or something. That's he doesn't go that far, but he's very machmir in terms of, he says you have to find out, and if in fact it's a boy, you then have to be careful. That's the most machmir approach. Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg is much more makel. Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg says, first of all, the Sfek Sveka might really be a Sfek Sveka. It's not necessarily Rove. I'm not going to get into all the details of Sfek Sveka and Rove, but we'll just leave it at that. That it might very well be a Sfek Sveka based on the Mishnah in Yevamos, in the 16th paragraph of Maseches Yevamos. Plus, the Rav Zalman Chaim points out that the Rivash I don't want to get too far into it. Okay, so first of all, he says that it might really be a Sfek Sveka. Second thing is that what in the world the Shach, the Rokeach is even talking about is very unclear. We generally have a rule that Tumah Belua is not a problem. When you have Tumah totally inside your body, let's say you have a Kazayis Min HaMeis that's somehow lodged in your stomach, and when you walk into a room, it doesn't make everything else in the room Tameh. Tumah bibalua in a totally enclosed part of the body is not tumah at all. Very similar to the halacha of going to a mikveh. When you go to a mikveh, you don't have to clean out your intestines and your kidneys. And when you go to the mikveh, you just can't have a chatzitz on your body, on the outer part of your body, or in the base of starim, in the inside of your mouth, the bottom part of your nose, things like that. But totally inside your body, there's no tumah at all. Magen Avraham in Simon Shin Mem Gimel wonders what in the world the rokeach is even talking about. It sounds so strange to assume that there could be such an issue of tumah bibalua. So what a group of achronim, and Rav Shechter collects this group of achronim, Rav Chaim Moser and others in his Sefer Bikvei Hatzon, Rav Shechter points out, Rav Elchanan, what a group of achronim suggests is that it's not really an issue of tumah, it's an issue of hiskarvus lemeis, an issue of coming close to a mace. So it's not, there's no real tumah involved. There's an issue of just being in close proximity to a dead body, and that might be why a kohen maybe is not allowed to even be in the room with a goseis, even though the goseis doesn't have tumas mace, but it's an issue of hiskarvus the mace. That is one approach to understanding what the issue might be. That it's not really an issue of tumah per se. Rav Zalman Nechemia points out that the Mishnah describes very extreme measures that were taken to prepare someone to be involved in the Efer Paraduma. Right? We have, it's quoted in Sukkah also, this Mishnah. The Mishnah describes how they would raise a child on a cliff somewhere so that he wouldn't ever be exposed to Tumas Meis. He would be born on that cliff, and he would first be let off to go get the water with which they were going to do the Paraduma, they were going to mix with the Paraduma ashes. The Mishnah never says that the second the woman became pregnant, she had to go on the cliff. Only that the child's born on the cliff, which again leads you to believe that with Balua, there is no real Tumah that goes through. And therefore, Zalman Chemia is of the, and the other Kula to throw in over here is that it's not so pashut that an Ubar is considered a Kohen at all. So Ubar Yerech Imo, he's a piece of his mother. He may not be considered a Kohen at all. The how accepted this Rokeach is, that it's necessarily a Kohen, that necessarily has the Isurim associated with Kuna, not so pashut at all. And therefore, Zalman Chaim Goldberg thinks that with all of the different factors, there's enough to be Samechan to assume that she does not need to ask, and even if she does ask and find out that it's a boy, does not need to then be careful about Tumah. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter has sort of a middle approach, that I think... Actually, let me be clear over here. Rabbi Bleich says you need to ask. Rav Zalman Chaim, and obviously if it's a boy, be careful. Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg paskins that she doesn't need to be concerned about Tumas Meis until literally the moment she's ready to give birth, and she doesn't need to even ask. Rav Sternbach also says that even if she knows that the child is a male, then she doesn't. She still doesn't have to be careful until it's mamish, like a couple of days before the birth, where there's a concern the baby might come out at any moment. That's where you have to worry about the tumah. And you might say, well, it's just a baby. What do you have to worry about? Who's this or is it? The baby doesn't have any mitzvos or isurim. No, but there is a halacha of los achilim, that you're not allowed to give a child an isur biyadayim. And one of the examples the Gemara uses in Yevamos Kuf Yudalid for that halacha is that you're not allowed to bring a little child kohen into a cemetery. So it's an isur on you, it's an isur on the adult to bring the kohen to that tumah. So at the end of the day, it's a major machlokas aposkim, a topic that most of us don't even think about, would be an issue. Whether a kohen's wife has to ask to find out whether the baby is a boy, and if she does find out that the baby is a boy, does she then have to be careful about tumah? Nevertheless, it seems that a majority of the poskim, like Rabbi Bleif, seem to assume that we do have the right to be makel in this kind of situation. Okay.